Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast, where Christian friends come together to catch up and explore God-centered conversations. Our goal is to inspire, share stories, and deepen our faith in light of the gospel. Without further ado, let's journey together in this week's episode of the Catch Up Podcast.
Better listen, right?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Catch Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark, and I'm here with my co-host,
Miggy.
Crowned. Yes. And we're here with our fellow guest for this week's episode for the very first time, Joseph Heck.
Hey.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
heard that all the time.
Yep.
So, man,
yeah. That's the only reason why, like, also one of the few times where, like, I actually remember your name for the very first time. It's hard for me to remember names, but when I met you, I was like, oh, that's an easy name to remember.
Heck, yeah.
Joseph Heck. And then one time I called you.
Joseph was easy?
It's kind of easy, but like, Heck is what made me remember your name. So
unique.
It's unique. Different. It's very unique. And apparently there's a lot of Joseph Heck.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of Hecks, actually.
Not that unique, I guess.
Nah.
Not that unique.
Apparently. Anyways, so for this week's episode, we had a topic in mind. And then 15, 20 minutes ago, we realized like, hey, let's do an impromptu one because we feel like it's more genuine to have like a good conversation if it's impromptu. And we thought, yeah, let's talk about misconceptions about Christianity. And for some of us here that are Christians and are somehow working in a secular field, we had conversations with people that are like, they bring up some stuff and we are like, that's not what Christians believe, you know? For you, Joseph, being in the, you know, as someone who has been working on films and on sets and maybe just being just a Christian in general, like, do you get conversations with some people that, you know, they thought about Christianity and you're like, well, that's not really what Christianity is all about?
Yeah. And I'm always careful too with that because, you know, when you have your own idea about things, you're already preconceived and it's hard to like break that preconceived idea.
Yeah.
And so in my experience, what I've been told is like, you know, it's best to ask questions so that way I get clarification. We've had this before where we're like discussing the Trinity and stuff like that. And so it was just getting clarification is like key and stuff. And so I try to push that and just ask questions and be curious. And and I find that to me, the funnest way. I like to hear what other people think and stuff and open my mind to things and stuff. And so not me be so closed off because I'm like, ooh, I'm this and I believe that. There's all these times like I'm like, oh, I thought this. Maybe I need to think differently on how God loves us or this or that, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Mimi?
Yeah. I've had a few places where people have just asked general questions about the faith. Like, I've even had people ask the question of like, are Catholics Christians? That's a pretty common one.
That is, yeah.
I think. Yeah, I actually really like what you said about like, you know, rather like just asking them questions to clarify and things like that. Cause I think a lot of people's like more, I guess attack-based like misconceptions, I would say attack-based or like maybe more like negative misconceptions about Christianity come usually from a place of like hurt. Where it's like, oh, well, you guys believe this because somebody in y'all's somebody in the church hurt me this way. So now that's the way I view your faith. And so I think that's cool. That's a good way of approaching it.
You made me think of this. Well, like hurt people, everybody knows that. But the one thing about like, okay, what if they were Christian before and then they're not, or they're this or that, and then they're not, like what made them lose their faith? Like, what is it? And I think the common common thing is they wanted or they needed God to show up in a certain way and he didn't, you know, they're like, God, I need you to save my kid. And then that kid passes away, whatever it may be, you know, God, like doubt kind of comes in that way and stuff. So,
yeah. So in light of that, actually, like, well, that's one of the misconceptions about Christianity where like people believe that God does not care about like our everyday problems and that, you know, like what you just said, sometimes, you know, we wanted something, you know, families that grew up in the church, they prayed for a specific prayer and then never came. And that's when they turn away from the faith and they were like, oh, God doesn't care about me. That's why, I don't believe in Christianity, because if there is a God, then he would have answered my prayers. Mm-hmm. What are your guys' response to that? What about you, Miggy?
Yeah. It's hard, I think, for like us to really understand why God does what he does. Especially in a place of suffering, or even in a situation like, oh, my child is now dead and God didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that really comes down to it is we need to recognize and realize that we don't know the entire scope of reality or everything. And if we look at the Bible, we see examples of people who have gone through some of the worst things that people could imagine, and still have come out saying, despite all of this, God is still good. Mm-hmm. So why? Well, I like whenever this question gets brought up, I think of one person specifically by the name of Joseph in the Old Testament, who was beaten, left in a ditch, and then later sold into slavery by his family, his brothers. He was then falsely accused of sexual assault, imprisoned, forgotten about in prison, and then by the grace of God was brought up to be basically the right-hand man of the Pharaoh at the time. And by that, all that suffering, he was able to then give advice to the Pharaoh to basically save not just all of Egypt, but the surrounding nations as well, which included his family.
Yeah.
And when they came up to him and they finally recognized that it was Joseph, they were like, forgive us, we did a lot of evil, we're sorry. And he's just like, the thing that you intended for evil, God intended for good. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, it's hard for us to sometimes sit and realize that my baby just died. Mm. But the thing that disease, that Satan, that the world intended for evil, God intends for good. And how we see good come out of it, we might not even see it in our lifetime. Mm. But good still is going to come from it. And God is still good in the midst of it, because he offers comfort. He offers peace. He offers hope. Despite all that, he doesn't just leave us high and dry, even if we feel like it. I guess my answer is, like, the Bible shows us that suffering is not something that we are exempt from just because we believe in God, but rather it is something that we are to play a role in. I think it's in Romans where Paul says that if we suffer with Christ, we will raise with him.
Yeah.
And so suffering is just, it's just an aspect of life. Mm-hmm, it's a reality because of the fall, because of the fact that sin and death have entered in through our father's, through our father's sin. And so now the world is cursed and it hurts.
Yeah.
But the thing is that despite all that, God is still going to redeem it.
Amen.
In the end, he's going to, as Revelation says, undo all evil.
Yeah. Well said.
Yeah. What about you, like, Joseph? What is your response to, like, that critique of that God doesn't care? So I believe in him.
Man, that it's that, like, okay, stop and question and stuff. What makes you believe like he doesn't care? You know, it's a big thing, because my immediate response is like, yeah, he does care. You know, look at this, know, and it's like, okay, something is on that they have evidence in their mind that God doesn't care. And so they're thinking about that. And so, with me, it's hard because it's like what you've said, I don't know. Like, sometimes we don't have the answers, and a lot of the times we don't. And God can work things into good and stuff like that. Like, I love this guy, Inky Johnson. I don't know if you know anything about him. He's a football player, Tennessee, had an accident in a game. He was going to go to an NFL, but, like, he became paralyzed in his right arm and stuff. He looks at, like, life, you know, okay, everything I was working towards, NFL, you know, I was so close to having it, and then it was ripped away. And so, like, we get in this, like, me-centric lifestyle where it's all about me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we get so narrow-minded, and we stop and forget to look at other people. Mm-hmm. And so he was upset a bit, like, God, just let me get to the NFL and then, like, redirect me. Go ahead and let me get that $1 million contract so I can take care of my family, right? Because that's a good thing. And so, but God stopped and he's like, no, like I need you to go this way and do this. And so I love that story, but you need to check it out. But he's like, man, you know, I wake up every day and I just try to get out of God's way because of the things he's done. Like because of my arm being paralyzed, my father was turned to Christ and stuff like that. My brothers, three of his like best friends from football turned to Christ because of what happened to him. And like, that's something you can't put a price on and stuff like that's that. Good. And so good things come, even though we may not see it. Mm-hmm. But like our life here, it amounts to very little. And I hate to be that guy, but like the eternity thing, and that's where like it matters. And that's where we need to aim for and loving people for that way and stuff. And so it's a hard answer.
It is.
I did not answer that well.
It really is a hard answer, especially when you're talking to a non-believer,
because
it's a hard concept for some of them to grasp, like the gospel hope that we get to have. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, well, I don't see any good stuff happening right now. But like the thing is, it's like, it's not an immediate good. It's the whole build up and process. And like the, like, you know, like when you start growing a plant, it's like, it's not like, like there's no immediate fruit, right? There's always going to be like, oh, the plant grows and there's no fruit yet. But down the road, you're going to see the fruit of that plant. And it's also the same thing with our sufferings. You know, sometimes we think like, oh, God doesn't care about my problems because he would have answered my prayers if he does. But sometimes like, you know, even in our trauma, and like what you were saying, Miguel, like God can work in that. Like God can use that for his good. Mm-hmm. Like there's countless times when like in my life where like I've gone through some traumatic stuff and I'm like, well, if God is so good, then he would have protected me from those things. But now I can safely say, looking back at those things, like I'm thankful for God that though that happened to me, that though that hurt me, he used that so that he can grow me into the man that who I am now.
Yeah.
You know,
it's good.
I mean, look at the picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God the Father's son. Mm. And he sent him to earth to die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
He sent him to earth to be whipped and beaten and to feel hunger and to feel humiliated for us. Mm. He did that to his son.
Yeah.
For the good of humanity and for his glory.
Yeah.
And so like, what makes us think we're not going to go through something, you know?
True.
I mean, if God allowed his son to be beaten and killed, like for the good of humanity, and for his glory, like why can we not expect the same thing for us? Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not saying like, hey, get ready because you're going to get, you know, beaten and crucified. Like that's not the case, but the image that I'm really trying to draw is like, We're not exempt from it. Like our life isn't health, wealth, and prosperity. Our life is one that's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. You know, I think I'm going to share something a little personal because I think it relates to this. My uncle died last week and his funeral was this past Tuesday. And my uncle was a very hard man. He grew up like with some rough people and was, you know, he rode Harleys, things like that. He had his own little clique, that he hung out with. And for the longest time, you know, he didn't go to church. He didn't care about God. He knew about God, but he didn't care about it at all. So this past year he was diagnosed with, I think it was cirrhosis of the liver or liver cancer. I cannot remember. But it was something that affected his liver, and he drank a lot. So it was bound to happen. But in these last like 6 months, I think he stopped drinking. He cleaned up his act, and he was like, this is real. Like, this is something that I'm going through now. I've been wasting my life. I've been wasting my time. What am I doing? And he started going to a Bible men's group, in Hereford, that, you know, was four men, you know, that were like him, rougher dudes, but like the guy who was leading it was like sharing the gospel with him. And the thing that none of us ever like really expected, but like we've been praying for, and my grandma was praying for, he got saved.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He got saved. And not only did he get saved, he started calling his buddies to go.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's good.
And like shortly after he was hospitalized, three more of his friends started like they showed up. And then at his funeral, three dudes from like a few of his friends gave their life to the Lord.
Oh, wow.
Whenever, you know, my dad had called like that for them to say like, hey, like, you know, this is real. Like, but you have hope, like give your life to Christ. You know, whenever he went through that whole thing, three of them gave their life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And like, am I sad that my uncle passed away? Yeah, it sucks. It's not great. But good came from it.
Mm-hmm,
like really, really good things came from it in the sense of three men were saved. Three more men have been put into a place where they, their hearts are going to be softened to be saved. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sad that it took my uncle to die, but I'm glad that it was my uncle's influence and the Holy Spirit working through my uncle to bring him to that place.
That's good.
And so like, yeah, immediately my Theo did not get to see the good that came from him getting sick and dying, but good came from it.
Yeah. Yes. Do you have anything to add to that, Joseph?
No. Leave it at that.
Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. So our next misconception is that Christianity is just a list of rules to follow. What are y'all's response to that?
No. Okay. It's not just a list of rules to follow. The Ten Commandments exist, but is the entirety of the faith the Ten Commandments?
Okay.
No, because the New Testament tells us that Christ didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we know that the law the law is no longer something that we are going to be like fully like how what is the word what is the word I'm trying to figure out the phrasing because I'm about to say something heretical and that's not correct.
Law
gospel distinction.
Yeah, there's a law gospel distinction, thank you, between the law was once like it was implemented, it is a mirror, but it was never meant to save.
Yeah,
it was meant to show us that we were inadequate, but also at the same time point us in the direction of right living. We know, like, what the United States is basically built on the concepts given to us in the Old Testament law and the Ten Commandments. But also, like, no one has ever fulfilled the Ten Commandments except for Jesus Christ. No one has ever lived the law perfectly. And by that metric, we all fail and we're all doomed, like, because we were meant to do that. So yes, there's a list of things that, you know, we're to follow, but also there's grace. And Christ has come not to abolish it, but to fulfill it. And in fulfilling it, he fulfilled it for us.
Yeah.
And so we can live freely in him. That doesn't mean we can go and sin and do what we want, but that means we can be empowered to do what is good and enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a weight of I need to do this, 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 and this. It's God has saved me. I have grace. I can freely serve him and feel joy. And it's not a list of this, 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 and this, but it's I'm going to go and be Christ-like to people because I want to. I want to love people because it's good. Like it's, and that's what it comes down to. What does Jesus say about the Ten Commandments? He boils them down to two things: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Follow, like, put God before all things and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And so what do we Christians get to do? We get to follow and love God, and then we get to love our neighbors as ourselves. Like, it's not a chore.
Yeah.
It's a blessing that we get to do. So.
Yeah. What about you, Joseph? What's your response to that misconception? Oh, it's just rules.
It's so cliche, but like we're living in freedom, you know? And so really the rules aren't freedom and stuff. And so like, so with, let's say a lot of my friends go like, man, what if you're wrong? What if like God's not real and Jesus isn't real and you're just going to die? Like, wouldn't you want to have fun doing these things and stuff like that? And so like, to me, I just look at that and I'm like, man, we're not shackled. Like, I want them to open their eyes and realize like they're the ones shackled and obeying these rules of like, you need to do this to have fun. You need to do this to feel fulfillment. You need to do this to have freedom and stuff like that. And so live for myself, kind of like love myself, you know, and stuff. And so I get so attacked on that. And I'm like, man, you need to realize this is loving yourself and loving others. You know, doing this is good for you. Like, look at, I'm just going to throw out porn. Look at porn. Like, it messes with your mind and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it messes with your relationships with friends and stuff. And so how is that good, you know? And so I want them to see that goodness comes from, only good things come from these things if you do this. Now, that being said, I want to keep messing up. I want to make mistakes because, and I want them to realize that walking in freedom, if you're fearful of like making mistakes, you know, falling short, you're always going to fall short, right? And so you turn into salvation. At least I do. My mind goes into, I work for my salvation and stuff. And that's not true. Like, your salvation isn't in how you perform and what you do. And my mind can easily go to that. And so now I rejoice when I make mistakes because I learn from them and I can walk in them in humility and make fun of them in a way, make light of them because it doesn't hold me down. And you know, shame is, oh my gosh, such a killer. It kills me all the time. And so like, why not let go of that? Like it blows my mind. Jesus died for your sins and your shame. Like that one's like, ooh, it's hard for me to give Jesus my shame.
That's good.
Sins, oh yeah, take it. But like shame, it's like, man, I would love to give it to you, but I don't know how. Show me how, you know, and stuff like that. And so I don't know. I just want people to realize you're living by these rules, even though you're not, like, here you are following these rules of the world, even though you don't realize it. And this is not, you are following rules if you're living a good life. Great, sweet, but you're not, you know, that's not your salvation. And so, like, I want them to see, though, that that brings true freedom. You become who God created you to be. And that's, you know, if you're, it's like trying to make a Game Boy play PlayStation games, right? You know, let be what you were created to be, you know, and stuff.
I saw a post the other day where like they said like it's baffling for them to think that like the only sometimes like the only reason why there's, you know, like traffic functions the way it is because of lines and traffic lights. And it's just fascinating. But when you think about it, it's like, it's almost the same with God's commandments. You know, God, like when you see it as just like rules to follow rather than like God calling you to how life is supposed to be, you know, because I mean, the Ten Commandments is basically how we should function as human beings. You know, we should be worshiping God. We should be in perfect community with one another because of, you know, that's the triune God. They're in perfect community. But because of sin, God shows us like, hey, this is how you should live your life. But however, though, like he knows that we're going to fail. And that like the whole purpose of the Ten Commandments is to show to us that like, you're, of course, like this is how you should be. But I want you to see that there's something deeper than just moral failure or like being able to not do these things. There's something deeper than that. And that's like the heart of sin. It's like we are, by nature, we are sinners, right? And enable for us to be delivered from that is through the Holy Spirit, you know? And that can only, that can't come through like without Jesus, you know, dying for our sins. So I feel like the whole thing of like what you were talking about earlier, Miguel, and kind of like what you were talking about as well, is that whenever we look at God's commandments or the, like, you know, people will say rules. I don't want to say it's rules. I would say it's like God's way of like telling us this is how you should live your life. Because if you're not in Christ, the way you see the law is that, oh shoot, I'm a sinner. I cannot do this by myself. I need a savior. That's how like people outside of the faith should see God's commandments. If you're a Christian, you look at the law and say, Jesus fulfilled these for me. I can do these things. And even if I fail, I can still get up and still do them because this is how God intended me to live as someone that is redeemed by Christ. Because I read a book and they said like, God did not save us from our sins so that we can continue in sinning. God saved us from sin so that we can live for him, so we can worship him.
So you read Romans?
Yes. So basically, like, that's the whole premise of, like, you know, like, the reason why we still follow God's commands and Jesus, you know, commandments for us is because this is how God intended it to be. Yeah. God saved us from sin, and God saved us for him so that we can worship him.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. I also want to say, like, why are rules bad?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you don't get a bottle of soap and then look at the back and read, do not ingest, and then go,
yeah, right.
You know? You know?
My insides.
You know, like, it's, they're there for reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about the Ten Commandments. Well, like, they're there for a reason.
Mm.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do not put any other idols before him. Why do we not put idols before him? Because they lead us down to bad paths. They cause us to sin, and they take our eyes off of him.
Mm.
Obey your mother and father. Why? Because most of the time they know what they're talking about. Mm. Like, do not murder. Why is that bad?
Yeah, that's
you
true,
know,
yeah.
I don't know.
No.
Don't covet. Don't lie.
Hell yeah.
You know, don't commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're there because they're good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good to cheat on your wife.
Yeah.
It's not good to steal somebody's things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it is, wait until you get something stolen from you. Then you'll think opposite. Like,
it's like, oh, shoot.
It's like, they're there for a reason, and they're there for good. Mm-hmm. God has placed them there because they're good things for us to follow and live by.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you want to look at, like, the like, cultural, like, civil and ceremonial laws for the Jews, like, and the for the people in the Old Testament, like, they're there not just for their good, but also to set them apart and separate mm-hmm. them from the
Gentiles,
from the evil, like, kingdoms that were around Bacons, them that yeah. were sacrificing babies and, like, having, like, worship orgies to their mm-hmm. gods. Like, they're there for a reason
yeah.
because they're good. They're good for us to follow. Will mm-hmm. we follow them all the time? No, but, like, you know, I really like that you brought up the fact that people are chained to the rules of the world in a sense whenever it comes to, like, oh, dude, you should just come and drink with us and have fun. It's just like, what does that entail? Like mm-hmm. getting absolutely sloshed and, like, feeling horrible in the morning and then chasing that again for the next weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're destroying your body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I think that there are just things that's just, like, that the world likes to call fun, or that, like, secular people call fun. And it's just like, really, it's might slavery. Be fun for the moment, yeah. but, like, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
It's like drinking. It's like candy. Candy yep. is fun. It yep. tastes good.
Yep.
If you only eat it, you're going to, one, ruin your teeth, but two, you're going to get sick. And three, you're going to get diabetes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know,
true. Yeah, that's right. Do you have anything to add, Joseph?
No, I love that.
Yeah. Cause, like, the next misconception is actually kind of tie into the previous one that we had, where it says Christians are anti-fun or anti-pleasure. What do y'all think about that? Like, we're, like, anti-fun.
Hmm. Huh.
Because of, like, oh, so you don't want to go out to parties?
Christians, not God. It's focusing no, Christians. On Christians.
Yeah. Some Christians can be, I think.
Yeah.
Some Christians can definitely be anti-fun. But, like, some of the most fun that I've had in the last few years have been with my Christian friends. So, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think that people, like, narrow their view down to mm-hmm. what fun is.
Yeah.
But, like I said, like, fun doesn't have to be going out and drinking and going to clubs and, you know, smoking pot and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like, it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be that. Like, I'm not really one for, like, playing sports all the time. But, like, I played Ultimate Frisbee for the first time this summer uh-huh. with RCM, and that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can do that
yeah.
and not be a Christian, and it's still fun. But, like, mm-hmm. you know, Christians do it and they have fun. Christians yeah. play sports. They play video games. Some Christians don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, there's freedom to do things that are fun.
Yeah. What about you, Joseph? Do you think Christians are anti-fun? Or we're just like, oh, we're just killjoy people.
No, I mean, but that's pride in me because I'm a Christian. I'm like, I'm fun, right? You know,
right, guys?
You know, but, you know, you don't get along with everybody and just kind of like, okay, if you don't find what I find fun, fun, then we don't have to hang out, you know? And but I guarantee you there's some fellow believers I have that like doing these things. It's like the idea of like, okay, if you don't like this, find the click that you do, but try to keep it with people who support you and encourage you and help you to grow in the way you should, instead of supporting you and encouraging you in the way you shouldn't go, you know? And so, find people who will help you get closer to God. And like, to me, my argument would also be like, the idea is like, oh, you know, worshiping God's not fun, or reading the Bible's not fun, or this or that. Like, there's some fun stories inside the Bible. A lot of modern literature is like based on like structures that the Bible has, you know, and inspired by. And so it's a lot of fun to like read and learn. And then like, just like, what, like I talk about movies, you know, whenever I come out of a movie, the ones that impact me the most are the ones where I'm like, I want to be a better person because of that movie. And it makes me feel like great or sad or good, you know? And I'm like, those are the ones that like have the more lasting impact. It's the same thing with the Bible. Like, sure, you know, and then there's like some scripture I'm like, so boring to read. I struggle with this, you know, and stuff like this. And then like, there's some others where I'm like, holy crap, you know, oh my gosh, you know, and you just get excited about, you know? And so it's aligning joy and stuff like that. And so
I feel like
if you find that fun, if we want to keep on like, what is true, Christians can do fun things, but like, what about the Christian-y things? Are they fun? I'm like, yeah, they are too, you know?
They are, but they are fun. Yeah. And I want to elaborate, like, because like, I had a conversation with our youth pastor not too long ago about like Christians watching horror movies, you know, and I do too, man. And where he says like, you know, like all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial.
True. So it's like, okay,
you know, but when you watch, let's just talk about horror movies. Yeah. Like, you can watch horror movies, but like, when you watch something and you consume something, you ask yourself, is it going to benefit me? You know, that's what we think as Christians.
Yeah.
For some Christians, like for me, for myself, I draw the line where like, for when it comes to horror movies, I don't watch demonic movies or possession movies, but I would watch like, you know, like slasher movies like Scream or Halloween, all those kind of movies. Not because I enjoy like seeing people getting killed.
sure, bro.
I just like the thrill and all that kind of stuff, like being scared. Yeah. But again, like, that's your conviction. Like, you don't have to like convince people to like, oh, like, you know, you should have the same conviction as I do. Yeah. Like, for me, like, I enjoy getting scared.
Yeah.
Like, for like, that's weird to say, but I love getting scared. But there's a line to draw where like, okay, I can watch these movies, but I'm not going to watch demonic possessions because I know for a fact that this is something dealing with spiritual, and that's where I draw the line.
Yeah.
And we're not anti-fun or anti-pleasure. We're just establish some boundaries for some of us.
Like, I feel like whenever people say like anti-pleasure, they're also talking about sex.
Okay.
Because I mean, like, let's be honest, like Christians say don't have sex before marriage, but like, we're not anti-sex. Just do it the way that God intended. You know? So like, even like anti-pleasure, like you can, there are things that are pleasurable that you can have. You just have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
You just have to do it the way that God intended. Like, you know, eating.
Yeah, wait, you know what's crazy? God created all things, and all things are good.
Like,
whoa. Dude, also
food.
Like,
yeah.
Like eating, and this is a hard one for me because I love food. But like, eating is a good thing. Eating too much is not, you know?
Yeah.
And like, so like, me going for thirds is like probably like not a great thing.
Yeah.
Even though I like it. You know, God made eating pleasurable for us, but like, too much of it is bad.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, pleasure is a good thing for Christians, but like, there are lines and there are boundaries, like you said.
Yeah.
I also don't watch demon possession movies, but it's for an entirely different reason. It's because I think they suck. Because there's also like me like sitting here thinking, I'm like, you know, in real life, looking at the way that possessions happened and exorcisms happened in the Bible, it would have gone completely. Like, the exorcism should have been, like, if it was done by an actual Christian, like, it should have been done. It should have been done way sooner. Like, there should have been no head spinning and pea soup, you know? But that's just me being like overanalyzing it and be like, meh. But I also understand what you mean by like spiritual, like, there's like spiritual things that happen with certain things like that. There's some movies that I can't remember what it's called. There was one movie that I watched though that I sat there and I was just like,
The Blair Witch Project.
No, not the Blair. Oh. No, not the Blair. I just sat there. I was just like, oh, this is gross. I'm leaving. Like, oh,
okay.
I just didn't watch it because I felt it. Like I felt the thickness of like, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't watch this. Mm. And so I just left. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's just some things where it's just like you as a Christian, you feel it.
Okay. Yeah, totally. Conviction. But yeah. Joseph, you said something about like, you know, like God created all things and, you know, they're good.
Yeah.
So would you say, again, this is going to be a rabbit
okay.
hole.
Okay.
But would you say drugs yeah. is permissible?
Okay.
Like drugs, pot? Like pot,
marijuana,
or cocaine.
I think
weed, all those kind of stuff.
I think in my opinion, I do not speak for God, but like, I do believe God created all things good and yeah, stuff yeah. like that. And so
I mean, cold.
Like marijuana could have its purpose in the medical field. Right. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't think you should smoke it. I don't think you should take it unless if it's like, I know I hear about like seizures and how this can help. And I'm like, man, do that. Like if that's going to help you be better. Awesome. You know, if that's what the doctors are prescribing and they think it'll help your seizures to stop or this or that, cool. But the way it's used for pleasure and stuff like that, that's where I'm against it. And so it's that selfish, you know, mindset behind things. And so just like all things are created good, all things are used for bad, like Satan twistism, like, you know, sex and all these things, right? And so... it's like a balance and I hate that, but like everything, like the answer to almost everything is like, use it and it's in a good balance, right? You don't overuse it and you don't completely face it away, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Don't be too headstrong that you're not open to what God may be showing you, because just like eating pork was wrong and stuff like that. I think it's Peter, I'm gonna mess up, is talking, and you know, he has a vision over and over again about this blanket full of food, you know, being set before him.
That's
and
Peter.
He's like, what I say is
the book of
Acts. Clean is clean and stuff like that. So just, you know, eat. And so like, sure, it was wrong, but like at one point it's right, you know.
It's in the book of Acts.
It's just the same idea as like I hate, but like, you know, the forbidden fruit, right? Knowledge of good and evil, right? So you know, people are like, you know, why would God put that there, you know, tempt us and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, he said, don't eat it. Doesn't mean don't ever eat it. Like maybe there was a time coming when Adam and Eve should have taken it and eaten, but they jumped ahead of the schedule. But I don't know if that's true, but like, that's just misconceived, like headstrong thinking. I'm like, you need to soften your thinking, I feel like, and be receptive. The conviction thing is a hard one. It's like, okay, do we set aside and trust that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction upon time, or should I speak up whenever wrong things are happening? Like you wouldn't sit and watch somebody being raped and go like, oh, wait till the Holy Spirit convicts that person that rape is wrong. Like you'd stand up. And so it's like, to me, I'm like, I'm always careful with the conviction thing. It's, you don't want to say I'll wait, but you don't want to say I'm going to interject with everything. And so it's a hard thing to talk about. Yeah. Like,
there, like, I think that's also one of those ones where you have to talk about balance. Like there's certain things that like there are set in stone, solid things. Like you should like call it out, but also Jesus drank wine, you know? And so like, how do we deal with that?
Yeah.
It's just right places within like within right understandings. Like Jesus didn't get absolutely plastered every single weekend.
That's good.
But he did drink on a wedding.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
made wine for people to drink during a wedding.
And that so, we're already having.
That we're already having fun.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, it's permissible. It's a thing that we can do. But is it always good for us to do every single day?
Yeah.
No. No, it's not. And so like, we can have fun with certain things. Like I even like, me thinking about weed, I'm like, you know, there's like, it, like, is it even good to like smoke it? I don't know.
Smoking's never bad. Good. I mean, in my opinion,
it destroys your lungs.
Yeah. So never like, put smoke in your lungs.
You know, but like there, you know, there are things where it's like, I think about old fashioned Christians, like from like the, I don't know, early 1900s, 1800s, they smoked cigars.
Yeah.
And like, they weren't smoking like all the time, but they would like, they're like, okay, sit down. I'm going to study and I'm going to smoke a cigar. And like, there's definite pleasure that people get from it and they did it, but they didn't feel convicted about it. But other people are like, no, I'm not going to smoke. I'm not going to touch that stuff. And so like, I think it's like, there's a fairness in like saying like there is Christian liberty there, but also like there are things where we should definitely say, no, like oh, you're smoking every single day.
Yeah.
To the point of you're giving yourself lung cancer, you should probably stop. And it's a good Christian thing for you to do to stop and just not do it again.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, same with alcohol, same with food, same, you know, things like that. So
J.R.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis, all the Inklings would get up and go to the place, the child, something, some bar that they'd go to and drink and talk and smoke, you know, and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not to, well, they did it. So just fine. It's just like, all right.
Yeah.
Balance.
Yeah. So, okay. Do you all have anything to add to that?
No.
Okay.
No,
so for next one,
we
is
went
like,
off of horror movies specifically.
You might actually like, you both might actually like this one because I know you all are music lovers, but the misconception, another misconception is that Christians reject all modern culture, music, contemporary music, media, technology in general.
No.
No.
No. We're not Quakers. I think sometimes Christians take in too much in some instances, but like, no, I think that's a, no, I mean, there's Christian rap, there's Christian metal, there's Christian pop.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I mean, like even worship now is modern in a sense, like you're going to find a Christian band that sounds exactly like Coldplay. Like it's, you know, there's,
or you can still listen to Coldplay.
Yeah. And I also feel like churches have like modernized to the point of like they have entire technical teams for technology and things like that. Mm. So yeah. Technology. I mean, we're using it. Yeah. We're using it now. Every pastor owns a phone.
Yeah.
Like unless they're like an Eastern Orthodox priest who lives out in the mountains somewhere and has never seen a woman. That's actually a thing. Yeah. There was a guy who was raised in a, I think it was an Orthodox monastery. He never saw a woman. He only knew they existed because of books.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But like, you know,
poor guy.
Yeah. You know what? No, no, not poor guy. Paul said it is better to not marry. So like,
hey, that's Paul's opinion. You know what? Good for
it's in scripture, brother.
Good for Paul.
Sorry. But like, you know, things like that. Like there are definitely sects of Christianity that are like more, you know, like we should like rein it back. There are definitely sects of Christianity that are like, yeah, let's just do it. And again, I think it's just a thing of like, you'll find what you like. Christianity like has grown and evolved with culture in the sense of like there are new things happening. Like we discovered space and the solar system and the Big Bang and like how it all works. And the church was like, oh yeah, that actually is true. Oh, cool. We believe that. Like, it's good. And technology has like come into play. We were like, well, now we have TVs with like lyrics on screen to make it easier for people to sing.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
We got sound systems for people to be able to hear better. We don't have to have an entire like choruses of people to make a loud noise for people to sing along with. Although they are very beautiful, you know, we just like, we've grown with like culture and technology to implement it in a way that is glorifying to God. Yeah. So.
Okay. What about you?
Okay. I hear stories of people who like listen to only Christian music and how it grows and, you know, they feel so much happier and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Is that something I should do? I don't know. Maybe I should do that. You know, I am not Jesus in the fact of like, Jesus can walk and be among sinners and stuff like that and not absorb what they do. Mm-hmm. I probably absorb a lot of sin because of who I hang out with, you know, and I pick up those habits that, you know, other people might do, or I want to fit in or whatever. And so it's a hard subject. Like to me, I'm like, you know, some songs I'm like, oh, don't listen to that because of what it's saying, you know, but then there's some songs that I'm like, oh, it's not too bad. And so I give leeway. And so it's just like, okay, where should I be? Where should my conviction be and stuff like that? And so should I take into account when people say I shouldn't listen to that stuff. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't consume this. Maybe I shouldn't watch this, you know, or whatever. But and so I think it's just, I don't know. And I feel like the idea of growing and your faith is always going to be a journey. You're never going to reach, you know, that point of I am a perfect mm-hmm. human being. I am made, you know, well, yeah, you are made fully in Christ. But like the idea of like, here I am and I am just like Jesus as of right now, you know, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so you're always striving to be better and keep moving forward and stuff yeah. like that. And what's awesome about God is you can always go deeper. You like, Amen. You can never reach the bottom, you know, mm-hmm. you can always keep diving in and getting closer and closer and closer to God. And he leaves this void for us to like keep desiring more and more of him and stuff like that. And so, I shouldn't use the word leave this void. He feels it, but like this idea is we always desire more and stuff mm-hmm. like that hole that Jesus can fill. Mm-hmm. Still leaves a hungering for more and more.
Yeah, it's like always experience. Expanding.
Like yeah. I've always thought, okay, I'm growing, and then I'm good here. I'm going to plateau here. I love my relationship, how much time I spend with God. I'm going to keep it here. And then what I find out is like I've been going downhill because I've been trying to keep it consistent. It's like a constant pursuit of God and mm-hmm. stuff for mm-hmm. you to keep growing. If you're plateauing, you're going downhill in my experience. The times yeah. I've plateaued,
that's cool.
I've mm-hmm. actually been going downhill and mm-hmm. stuff, slowly growing farther away from God and stuff. So I don't know. That was a weird rant. It's hard to, I don't know. I don't know. It's the answer.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's always a good answer.
So. Yeah. Okay. It's going to be our last one. And I think this is going to be very important, especially since we're all from Texas. Going to church makes you a Christian.
Mm. Well.
Or being growing up in a Christian household makes you a Christian.
Let's all say it on the count of three.
One, two, three.
Yes.
No.
Oh. Sorry. But no. Yeah, that's obviously more so towards the Christians. Like, that's the misconception of, like, you know, you adapt what you believe. Like, I kind of became more so a Republican, probably because of Texas, too. Because my parents were Republican, right? And mm-hmm. so, like, the idea of Christianity, same thing. Like, I credit my Christians, my Christian family, my parents, to me being Christian, like I grew up, that's all I've known is being Christian. I never had this like, oh, boom. Sure. I find myself in sin and I continually turn and closer to Jesus and repentance and stuff like that. And so it's a subject of like, yeah, you can do that. And I feel so like, did my parents raise me the best they could? Absolutely. And stuff like that. And, but like, sometimes I'm like, man, I see these Christian kids who were raised by Christian parents and they are on fire for God and stuff like that. Me, I'm like, my relationship with God is there, you know, and stuff like that. And it's because of me being Christian. And so sometimes I'm idolize people who had that radical conversion and stuff like that. And I'm like, that's because they feel the difference, you know? Mm. And like, to me, I've always had Jesus a part of my life because I don't even remember the first time I asked him to be a part of my life. I grew up in church always asking after every service altar call.
Yeah.
Who wants Jesus? Me. You know, every altar call, you know. And so like to me, I don't know. But like there's like those, it's kind of like those rededications to Christ.
Yeah.
And so it as that kid, I never thought it, but ultimately I lived that. Like there was this point in my life where I was like, no, I'm all in for God. And it changed, you know, mm-hmm. and even though I slip here and there and I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm 50% in for God at mm-hmm. times, but like this, it did change at this point. And so if I grow up, I hope I can help my kids make that decision for themselves and not because I am
that's good,
and I'm bringing them and stuff.
Yeah.
I hope they have that radical thought of, okay, I'm all in for it. No matter what happens, I'm going to keep pursuing you, God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, hey. We're growing up in the Bible Belt. And so everybody, you know, goes to church on Christmas and Easter, you know. And a lot of people, that's enough. But like, you know, being raised, I was raised Christian too. I did the same thing. Yeah. I would raise my hand at every single time. Like, you know, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. If you want to be saved, like lift your hand right now and then like come to the front. And like, you know, then everybody would start like speaking in tongues and rolling on the ground. I was very Pentecostal. And so like, you know, I was raised in that. And so like, I don't even have a memory of like, I don't know which one it was, like of which time I confessed Christ. You know, I don't, I think, you know, now as I'm older, I'm like the first time because because I still confessed it. And even though I didn't know what I was doing, I think God worked in that, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know when that was. I was a kid, you know? I don't have that like coming to Christ moment like some of these people do, which I think is awesome. I love that their testimony is one that is so like amazing that they were saved from all these things. Yeah. But, you know, also I think it's miraculous that even a sinner like me could be saved at the same time, you know, even though I wasn't doing all the other stuff, I was doing sins on my own.
Yeah.
But it, like just going to church doesn't do it.
Yeah. Right.
Just being raised in a Christian environment doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. It takes something more than just that. There were a lot of people who were like culturally Jewish and they put Jesus on a cross.
Mm-hmm.
They shouted, crucify him,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so it takes more than just being religious. And I'm not saying that religion is bad. In fact, God calls religion good.
Mm-hmm.
But good and true religion is, you know, feeding the hungry, feeding or clothing the orphan, and taking care of the widow. But also like it's more than just empty platitudes,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jesus condemned the Pharisees by saying like, yeah, they're praying all the time and they're praying loud. So everybody hears them, but it's just empty.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's more than just religiosity. It's an actual intent, like something in your heart changes.
Yeah.
Something mm-hmm. in your spirit is different. It's not just, I'm going to church every Sunday. Like that should be enough. God, you hear me? You see me going to church, right? I'm good. Cool. You know, it's more than just that. It's I'm going to church on Sundays, one, because I want to worship God, two, because I want to sit under the word of God, three, because I know that God is doing something there and I want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also I'm doing not just going to church on Sundays, but I'm doing life with like with believers, my brothers and sisters, but also not because of obligation, but because I want to be there.
Yeah.
Because God wants me to be there. And I know it's going to bring him pleasure. Like I know it's going to be good for him. It's going to be good for me to do that. I want to seek God because I know God is ultimately like the greatest thing for me to have.
Yeah.
It is a changing in one's spirit that makes somebody a Christian. It is the confession of the mouth and the belief of the heart that ultimately is what does it. Like it's the Holy Spirit working in you to soften your heart, to give you a heart of flesh and take out your heart of stone that turns your posture from sinful human being to now made
worshiping
a new, a new creature.
It's good.
And so, yeah, like it can't just be, I go to church every Sunday. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. I go to church every once in a while. I should be good. It's like, no, you need to believe with your entire heart that Jesus Christ is
raised
Lord. He's raised from the dead and that he's currently reigning in heaven and that he's going to come back. Like it is that faith that saves us. It's not actions that mm-hmm. save us. It's faith that saves us. And then faith produces action.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Do you have anything to add to that, Joseph?
Can go on and on, but yeah.
No, that is true. That is 100% true. And it's like Christianity is not just about doing good deeds. It's not about doing good works. It's like what you said. It's about, you know, confessing with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that the Holy Spirit working in us. And the good works is the effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the effects of our salvation. We do good works not because we want God to save us. We do good works because God saved us.
Yeah.
And that's like that's what separates Christianity from all other religions.
Yeah.
Other religions is like, oh, you have to do X, Y, Z to get to God. But God came to us.
Yeah.
You know, in Christ Jesus that lived a perfect life and died for our sins and rose on the third day.
Yeah.
And then he ascended and he will come back again.
Yeah.
So
yet while we were still sinners,
Christ died for us. Yes.
Yeah.
That he knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Exactly.
So yeah. All right. Well, that's all that we have for today. Joseph, thank you so much for guesting.
I'm happy to be here.
And the podcast. And we got to have you in the rabbit hole at some point.
Absolutely.
I know that you will
go down in a rabbit hole.
Yeah, go down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
So, but yeah. And Miguel, thank you for joining us as well, being the host.
I do things.
But yeah. So
I do.
So Joseph, before we close out, do you want to lead us into prayer?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Father, just thank you for my brothers here. Thank you for Christian sitting in the dark and doing his work. Thank you for the wisdom they have. Pray that we would continue to walk in humility and gain new wisdom, and give you that glory, God. God, whatever we said that was inaccurate, God, I pray that you would help us to see and convict us and help us to grow. I pray just for just this podcast that if it needs to reach somebody specifically, God, I pray that it would. Thank you for the influence you've had on each of our lives to go ahead and speak something that may be of you, God. So I pray just thanks that you are good.
Yes.
And you are God. And I know it's hard to believe in a world for some people today, but I pray that they would see your goodness. And
yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Holy Spirit, for your guiding wisdom. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Joseph, again, one more time, thank you so much for joining us. It's a gift to have you here. We're blessed to have you, and you, Miguel, as well. And Christian McClure.
Yeah.
We're blessed to have you here as well. And if y'all listeners have any questions, suggestions, or corrections, you could email us at catchuppodcast2023@gmail.com.
2023.
Well, yes. Right.
2024. So
yes.
You've had this a year.
Yeah, we had this for a year.
Yeah.
So nice. Almost to a year now, actually. Yeah. But as always, guys, stay awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Catch Up Podcast. And as always, we'll catch you in the next episode.
Yeet.
All right.
Yeet.
Thanks for catching up with us on the Catch Up Podcast. If you enjoyed our God-centered conversations, share the love by sharing this on your social media or leave a review. Don't forget to tune in next week for more uplifting chats. Until next time, we will catch you on the next episode of the Catch Up Podcast.